Blog Talk Radio.
Organize your business your way, all in one place with HoneyBook. HoneyBook provides a bird's eye view.
The one mic stand was Simply Made. I am Simply Made in full effect. That was great Auntie Gladys Knight with the best thing that ever happened to me. And I had to start off today's show with that song and dedicate it to my doggy daughter, Winnie Pooh. Her gotcha day was yesterday. Yes, my baby's gotcha day was yesterday. It has been an entire year with my service animal. And what was I doing before that? Really? Like, what was I doing before March 5th, 2021? Really? Really? And y'all are judging me. They're definitely judging me in the studio. They're like, Gladys, is that serious? It is that serious for me. personally. Might not be that serious for you. Pet lovers, we are here at One Mic Stand Show. If you know your dog's got your day, you know your cat's got your day, you love your pets, we need that. We need that from you, okay? The best thing that's ever happened, Winnie the Pooh, my dog. Best Yorkie on your timeline, if you're following me, Winnie the Pooh. You don't follow me personally, you don't know. At I Am Simply Nay. I just wanted to put that out there. Let me start off by thanking the sponsors that make sure we do what we do. Of course, I'm not going to thank them all at one time. We want to thank them throughout the show, but we've got to start off in an attitude of gratitude. So why not start off thanking Stand Omni Media? Stand Omni Media is a diversified digital brand with the mission to stand with the voices that are most often silenced. Like me, a black girl from Southeast DC, who more times than not to say what it is that she has to say. So we're really, really thankful to the folks for believing in us. We're really, really thankful for the folks in giving me my one mic. We're really, really thankful for you continuing to listen to us. We are heard in over 209 countries. Some people probably can't even understand what I'm saying, but you still listen. And for that, I am appreciative. If you would like to sponsor my show or any of the other shows on Stand Omni Media, we invite you to go to www.wheredoyoustand.com/SPONSOR. That's www.wheredoyoustand.com. You, the letter, not the word, .com. Yeah, so I think we should just get right into it. Y'all are like, Sincerely Simply Nay is back. 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 Sincerely Simply Nay is indeed back. And I got a message from a listener who is in what I like to call a one-sided relationship. There's a relationship, folks are saying there's in it, but as far as who's contributing to it, there's only one. There's only one. There's only one person. I'm not going to talk about it. They're going to tell you about it. It reads as Simply Nay. I have been with my person for 4 years. Things have been rocky and confusing throughout our relationship, but I love them. Sidebar. Ain't it always a but I love them? It's the but I love them for me. It's always a slippery slope from there. Anywho, but I love them. At this point in my life, I'm starting to feel like I am giving way more than I get. I didn't say that's what she said. I'm just reading it to you real slow. I do everything. The laundry, the dishes, the shopping, the bills, the dates, everything. I even ask for my person to think of the dates. Nothing. I ask my person to pick out the lingerie. Nothing. There's a difference in age.
Oh.
A difference in age, we say. But see, here's the tea. I am younger, and he is older. I am a social media influencer, and it allows me to make quite a lot of money from the comfort of my own home. I think he believes my youth and my money are an easy way out. I feel like I'm the only one in this relationship. Help me out. She slid in my DM, y'all. Now I'm going to say time. It was 2:35 in the morning when I got this. Now, when you get a DM at 2:35 in the morning, they had just got into it. Okay? He had just did something to her. I don't care what nobody say. They were coming from somewhere, had just argued. It was sitting hot in her spirit. She said, I'm a hit Simply Nay. So as I say to everyone who has always hit me up, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just talking to you. You have to make decisions on your own, and I always encourage you, maybe you want to talk to a mental health provider. I goes to my mental health provider. I take the prescriptions that the nice people with the degrees tell me to take. I just want to be honest with you. That's what I do over here. I pray. I meditate. My yes is my yes. My no is my no. And I'm mindful of my emotional storage, shall I say, my emotional gauge, shall I say. You feeling me? Am I felt? Now, that's the me. That's what I do for me, because I got to start with me. And I'm a woman of a certain age, shall we say. I like to like that, okay? I like to like that. So I am a woman of a certain age, so I just got to approach things in a certain way. Because when I drop it down, sometimes I gotta slowly pick it back up. I can't throw it back up. There's no more throwing. We don't throw nothing over here no more. Don't do that. No. You're younger than him. Time is your most valuable asset, sweetie. I sat in Bammy's. Shout out to Bammy's. They didn't pay me for that, but yeah. Shout out to Edward specifically at Bammy's, whose first day and birthday was yesterday. We'll talk more later about that with Simply Nay on the scene. But I was just sitting with my sis Bunny, and we were talking about my 27th birthday and how we celebrated in that year that I was still alive, because I had been diagnosed with cancer that year, stage 3 cancer that year. It felt like it was yesterday. I was talking the other day with someone about a situationship I involved myself in. And in talking about the time that passed in that situationship, I really was fooling with Fulio for quite some time. Now, not only are you giving up your time, which is a resource you cannot get back, baby. You cannot duplicate a moment. Be it good, be it bad, being indifferent. You cannot duplicate a moment. But you've been blessed enough to get hold of resources. Now, post-corona, right, in a time where folks are closing their businesses, trying to figure out where they're going to stay, In the middle of crises where there are wildfires and everything else, and we want to send our love to Miss Plus America Elite 2021. As there's catastrophe all over the world, and you're doing good. And you want to bring a do-nothing? It's a no for me. And as an example of how you do not get that time back, we ain't even finna talk about it no more, sweetheart. We're going to move to our next song on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. You got some time, Tupac? Tell these people.
In the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I beat myself? I'm proud to be a boy and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, killing, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids through the hell care. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal a brother. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. 2 shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of 2 distant strangers. And that's how I was supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
I want to be, only way I've been practicing my whole life to live my life is to be responsible for what I do. I don't know how to be responsible for what every black male did. I don't know. Yes, I am going to say that I'm a thug. That's because I came from the gutter and I'm still here.
I see no changes. All I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes disgrace the racist. We under. I wonder what it takes to make this. One better
well,
race,
let's
deal, erase the wasted. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. Cause both black and white and smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. If they kill, so we real time to heal each other. And as always things ever since, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret or concealed, a fact. A penitentiary sat and it's filled with black. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but staying in the dope game. Now tell me what the mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a cheat today.
But you made it in a sleazy way. Selling crack to the kids.
I gotta get paid.
But hey, well, that's the way it is.
Come on. Come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Actor Tupac Shakur,
was riding in his black BMW.
25-year-old rapper has long since
been charged with school.
Pay their respects to the slain rapper.
Not guilty.
And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Set a war on poverty. They got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did it. I ain't have to do it. But now I'm back with the back, giving it back to you. Let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pips back you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell a cop I can't touch this. I don't trust this when they try to rush this. That's the sound of my You say it ain't cool. My mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay. And I never get to lay back. Cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back. Coming back after all these years. That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is.
Way it is.
Oh yeah.
So you're my brother, you're my sister.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Some things will never change, and he was really right about that. I have gotten to the point, although I am a diehard LaShane Parrish fan, that I can't listen to him. It scares me now how strictly prophetic, you can't deny it, how strictly prophetic the stuff he said was. That's it. Just leaving it there. Or also, right, the devil don't have no new tricks. Right? That's real. It's the one Mike Stan with Simply Nay. I am Simply Nay. And for the fact, we still got sponsors. One of them is Eve, for Eve Online, Premier L, capital L, dating, for the lesbian and queer identified community. You should check them out at EVE, the number 4, EVE, online, everywhere. It's a beautiful experience. Again, that's EVE, the number 4, EVE, online. The gentleman has Adam for Adam. The gentlewomen and their women have Eve for Eve. We love to see it. We love to see it. So as promised, I am joined by Kate Ross. Kate Ross, as I see it, is a fashion icon, has been for some time, since the days of Distinguished Curl Up. For those who are not familiar, and I was not familiar, so you got to keep it real and credit who taught me, Kate Ross. Cravat is a French word that means what? Bow tie. I didn't know. I didn't know. And when somebody teaches you something, just we want to teach you, you got to let the people know who put you on point. Because we love to learn a thing, but then we don't want to admit who told us. We don't want to say, hey, I learned this from, we just want to act like everything just organically came from out the pie in the sky. That's not how things work. Somebody taught you something. And it's okay to say, I didn't know that. I learned it from Kate Ross. I had no clue. That's all I'm saying. I had no clue. So let's see what you can learn from the fabulous, fierce, fashionable Kate Ross. How you be?
How are you? How are you? I'm here. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was saying we, because I was happy you was here. That was joy. That was yay.
Oh, okay. Thank you, first and foremost. Thank you for having me. I listened to the person who wrote you, and it's actually, it really touched me what I heard, because I have definitely been in what's called a codependent relationship. I'm getting ready to celebrate my 41st birthday in April, and for 40 years of my life, I've been codependent. When people typically hear codependent, they think of drugs, but codependency is taking care of other people more than you take care of yourself.
You better read me on this radio.
And I think women of color especially, and I would say all women, period, because by nature, women happen to be caregivers. I think that by nature, we are codependent, and so many of us don't realize it. But when I heard the scenario and the story, immediately I thought of the book that changed my life and got me to the place within myself where I really realized I had to look myself in the mirror and admit some really tough stuff. And the main thing was that I wasn't taking care of myself the way I should have been. But Codependent No More, which is a book by Melanie Beatty, was life-changing for me. It literally, when I finished it, I wrote on the a piece of paper that I put on the back of my door, and I look at it every day that I leave out of my door, which is that I don't want a lover that needs me. I want a lover that wants me.
Mm.
And those are very different things.
Mm.
So, yeah. I just thought that would be a good place to start, because
Kate,
healing from codependency. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
You just going to come on for all strong. How you just, you ain't asked if we wanted to.
I'm sorry, but I apologize,
but when I heard that,
I had to say
No, I was going to ask you about the letter anyway. So that was just the universe working, because when I get a letter, whoever the guest is, we got a letter. We got a letter, okay? Everybody got a letter. That baby hit me at 229. I said, look, I was married. You to cause the problem, Pooh.
No, it hit me when I heard that story, because that has been my story and so many of our stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't leave. Don't realize that you're giving too much and leave. And the thing that I learned is don't try to leave amicably. That pisses them off more than when you lit. I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
You more mad at me just saying, okay, well, I bid you adieu than if I had to bust the windows out your car. Like, I don't understand. One of my favorite memes is the one where they talk about people being mad at you. If somebody has a grudge on you for something they did to you, I say, you better bless my heart every time I see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because something that I really have gotten more dedicated to beginning a practice in my life is something that I learned probably when I was in my 20s, and it was from Inyala Vanzai, and she said that, you know, holding on to a grudge is like drinking poison, hoping someone else dies. And the older, the wiser, I guess I would say, that I get, I really have begun to realize exactly what she meant. I heard it said differently recently by Joel Osteen, and he said, you know, don't let poison people poison you, you know, by holding on to hurt. When people have hurt you, you know, that basically you're giving them power over you. And have I perfected it in myself? Absolutely not. Because my codependency, what I'm realizing through this book from Oprah called What Happened to You, is that codependency starts from childhood. It mm-hmm. starts in people pleasing, where we grow up in households where we don't get the tender love and care that we need, and so we start people pleasing to try to get the tender love and care that we didn't get from everyone, every other relationship except for our family relationships. And so I know a lot of my codependency and my intimate relationships absolutely has been rooted in me pretty much, you know, the way I grew up, because most people look at me, especially when I was in my bow tie days, people saw a person that wore Oxford button-up and, you know, slacks and a bow tie. And I think a lot of people assumed that I came from either money or what people would deem normal, whatever that is, or a decent family. Most people don't know that at the age of 6, I watched my mother be sentenced to 22 years in federal prison. My mother was one of the top drug runners on the East Coast, and watching my mother be sentenced to 22 years in federal prison was very difficult for me. And even more, literally the day that my mother was incarcerated, I find, you know, empowerment and power in talking about it now, but it's not a story that I've even ever told public. But literally the day that my mother, the feds came to our house to pick her up, my mother had just driven me from our old neighborhood to our new apartment where her and her boyfriend, you know, had gotten this fancier apartment and moved us out of the project. And her boyfriend was upset because he thought that I had cut my younger brother's hair, which I did not do, because he thought that I disliked him forever, for whatever reason. He had it out for me. And he told her to put Nair in my hair. And my mother took me home and she put Nair in my hair. And after she did it, she told me to go downstairs and to answer the door because she thought it was him. When I answered the door, it was two Caucasian men with suits on asking for my mother by her first, middle, and last name. And it's like a vivid childhood memory that I have, that if you were talking to me 2 years ago, I would not have even been able to tell this story from a place of empowerment, because most people think people tell stories so that people will feel sorry for them. I don't talk about my past so people will feel sorry for me. I talk about my past so that people will better understand me.
Yep.
Because, yeah, so.
Yes. That, can you repeat that? I do not talk about my past. Can you, that's a t-shirt right there.
Yeah, I don't talk about my past because, I don't know, some people, I don't talk about my past so that people will feel sorry for me. I talk about my past so people will better understand me. Because I think that in healing, there's this notion that people believe that when you forgive, you forget, and maybe you shouldn't talk about things from the past. But I think the power in talking about things from the past is that it gives other people permission to honor their own healing, to their own feelings. And I've found power in learning to speak my truth, because it isn't something that I was always able to do.
So take us back. You said you're about to be 41. Where were you born at?
I was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Yes, Southern. Yes.
Yes.
And were you yes. always into fashion, or was that something that developed? What were your interests in the beginning, as I like to say when I talk to my guests?
Well, believe it or not, most people also don't know this about me, that when I was in college, I was the president of my NAACP chapter and the vice president of my student government. And for a long time, I wouldn't really touch on the NAACP part because of the the path that they've taken since I was a leader is a very different path than when I chose to found and launch the organization chapter on my college campus. But when I was in college, I was known as a young revolutionary. Within my second year, I had went to Duke University to a debate, pretty much, and Angela Davis was there. And from my sophomore to my senior year, Angela mentored me from Santa Cruz, which she was teaching out at Santa Cruz at the time. And so before I got into designing, I was heavily into activism, which is why activism sort of speaks through my creations. They always have. Even when I was a bow tie designer, I used each collection to educate about some area of Black history that people didn't necessarily talk about when Black History Month came. And so I would definitely say before designing, I was into activism, and just I've always been a person that loved my community and wanted to empower my community, which is why even as a designer now, I'm only going to be releasing 3 to 4 more collections. And then I'm going on to be the founder of what's becoming known as Mad Black NYC. That is a $25 million Black startup platform that basically is going to bring together Black creatives, community, and capital to build, test, and launch products and services that make a difference in communities throughout New York City. The project is a project that I've been very just dedicated to for the last 7 years. I realized as a designer that when I got started, a lot of kids didn't have websites. And so people would ask me, you know, well, how do I incorporate my business? How do I, you know, build a website and different things? And I was answering more questions. And it reminded me that what I really loved about designing was empowering people. But I also have a promise to God and to my community that I made when I started as a bow tie designer. I promised that I would polish my people until fashion respected us as equal, which is why my first pieces in returning to design was an I Am Virgil campaign, because in my opinion, Virgil Abloh, which was the founder of Off-White, who passed in November, and he was the creative director for Louis Vuitton, as he said when he did his first show for Louis Vuitton, that wasn't him up there, it was us. And I think that young Black designers, we have an obligation to continue the legacy that he started, that Ann Lowe, you know, who was a seamstress, who designed Jackie Kennedy's wedding dress, and so many people that have come before us. We have an obligation to continue the legacy in which these people started. And just so you know, my last 4 collections, I'm just doing pre-launches now to build momentum for my last 4 collections. My last 4 collections are going to introduce a project called Meaningful Threads, where I'm going to be taking Black art, and I've already started with some fabrics, and I'm turning Black art into fabric because I truly believe that as Black designers, we really need meaningful threads to push our people.
Yeah.
And our ahead within the fashion community in a way that truly speaks to who we are. I appreciate plaids from Scotland and other places, but there are places in the West Indies, St. Lucia, that has its own plaid. We have so many symbols within the Black community that are not being presented in a way that really help our people understand who and what we are, even, you know, as it relates to fashion. And I think it's very limiting for Black designers to only have certain fabrics to choose from. And so why not take Black art and turn it into fabric in a way that allows Black art to pave a new lane for itself as well as Black designers at the same time?
Yes.
I just really think it's time for us as creatives to, as I tell my friends who are artists, they paint inside of a canvas. A canvas is a box. It's time for us to think outside the box. It's time for us to be just as creative about how we push whatever, you know, we're creating, you know, just as much creativity has to go into how we push it as, you know, and how we prepare it and produce it. And I think that, you know, just to bounce back for a second to Matt Black, the reason why Matt Black is so important to our community is because it is going to be an online broadcasting network. We're not going to bring together 10,000 creators in New York City and not understand right now that social media is so oversaturated with talent. Mm-hmm. Huey P. Newton said it the best. Huey P. said, organize, organize, organize. And I continue that with so that our efforts materialize. You understand? And there's no, it's like when you go to social media, you're all over the place. And there needs to be a way to tune out of what you don't want and tune into what you do want. And so, like I said, Mad Black is a platform that's bringing 10,000 creatives together here in New York City over five boroughs, and that's only 2,000 kids per borough. We have 6 million New Yorkers. So 10,000 and 6 million is like a speck of dust. And so we know the project is going to be highly creative, highly competitive, but at the same time, it's going to give us a way in New York City to organize the creative talent here. And to believe it or not, the actual project was born in Washington, D.C. And I made a promise to the people that supported me when I was in D.C. that when I'm finished, there will not be a city in this country that's not Mad Black, meaning that what we do in New York is just our testing ground. But Mad D.C., Mad Baltimore, Mad Carolina, Mad ATL, L.A., Mad Midwest, et cetera, is coming. Because, as you know, from being in radio, radio stations started as individual people, and then they came together as networks.
Yeah.
And I think that so much of who we are as people of color, we don't understand the power of coming together. And just to go back to my mom, you know, being incarcerated as a child, the where I learned the power of coming together was that one of, you know, my godfather, rest in peace, Alpo Martinez, who was a kingpin, you know, drug dealer. Most people look at kids like me and they're like, oh, you know, I wish you wouldn't have saw the things you saw. Well, some of what I saw was positive. To be honest, me watching the North Side, South Side, East and West Side come together and buy all their drugs in my house, that taught me the power of people coming together. And what this generation has to understand is that our parents shop at Costco and Sam's for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine us going to GoDaddy or Squarespace and buying 10,000 websites instead of buying one website?
Yes,
as I tell my peers, our ego has to go on zero in order for our bank accounts, you feel me, see where it needs to be.
Say that.
Yeah.
Say that. They going to think, so hold on, we got to interrupt you real quick, production, like you got to say something because they say it's a setup. I got put out the gathering spot last week.
Wow.
So, you know, the gathering spot is basically trying to do some of that, right? Claims to do some of that. And so basically, long story short, at Ayana, I'm going to live by what I said to that person on who DM'd me. I ain't even going to get in my airtime. But long story short, we giving people our money. We giving people our space. We giving people our time. Who don't value us, and they look just like us.
Come on.
And what I realized is, like, Slim, you lived in D.C. We never got a chance to see each other because I was in an abusive relationship. I was in an abusive relationship. I was fighting cancer. So when I wanted to step out, and it's crazy when you talk about you were dealing with codependent relationships, how regardless of, you know, what was going on with you internally, the way that you presented came with certain assumptions, right? Which, let's think about the gap between your support needs, right, and what people may have thought you didn't have, and the comfort level or vulnerability to ask for what you needed, right? You know what I'm saying? And so just to make it relevant, because we're heard in a lot of places, for folks who are like, I don't understand how a pageant queen can jump from a building. That's how.
Mm-hmm.
That's how. When you are expecting someone who put upwards of 16 products on their face to look how you deem acceptable. That's a lot. And it'll leave them sometimes to decide they don't even want to leave out the door. And I've had nothing but the utmost respect because not only have you had impeccable fashion, but you've always been one to be an educator. You've never been one to talk down to. You've never been one to see anyone else's style profile. I'm from D.C., so just we Joan on people. That's what we do. I don't mean to harm. I'm a Joan on you. I can't help you. And I'm a laugh. And I'm a laugh at you if you Joan on me. I'm a laugh. Like, should you, if it's funny, I'm a laugh. But you've never talked about fashion in a way that identified a deficit in someone else. And I can say you are the only individual I've engaged in fashion who has had the ability to do just that. And I appreciate that.
I appreciate you.
And I'm excited, you know, for you. I'm sad. Well, I can't say that I'm sad because evolution is great. Doing different and new things is great. You don't want to be doing the same thing over and over and over again. I did not know that you were 41. Child, this non-cracking black is very, you know, then you be minding your business. Don't mind your business. And, you know, that'll just get you. I have so much I want to talk to you about, but let me ask you this. What was 40 giving mentally? Because, you know, we're talking about mental health. We're having these conversations. With being black and turning 40 given, especially because if my math is right, you were turning 40 in a motherfucking pandemic.
I was not just turning 40 in a pandemic. I was struggling with suicidal ideation. And a part of why, well, I'll say this. What is 40? 40 is an awakening in a way that if you had asked me that 3 years ago, I would have told you I'm afraid of becoming 40. That means in 40 more years, I'll be 80 and then I'm almost out of here. I had the most beautiful, my plans were to go to Bali for a week and, due to COVID that didn't happen. And, I wouldn't take back this last year for anything. Within this last year, I gave up smoking. And, you know, not to knock anybody because I gave up smoking marijuana within this last year. I'm going on, I think, 5.5 months clean, almost, maybe a little less than that. But I realized I had this African, she was young, she was my therapist, and she kept telling me, she said, you know, they don't know enough about marijuana and mental health. I want you to just give it a chance for you to just see how you feel without it. That's all I'm asking. Let's just say I gave up smoking marijuana. I started back again, but I've quit again now. But for that summer, I saved $14,000. I spent a lot of time with myself. I actually took a sabbatical from my family and my friends. It was when I was reading Codependent No More because I realized how many people were codependent on me. And so having time by myself, I created a routine where I would wake up in the morning, I would stretch, I would pray. Not some prayer I memorized, but whatever was on my heart. If I was upset with God, I told God that. And then I would meditate for 10 minutes. And when I first began meditating, I just learned to quiet my mind at first. Now I'm more into guided meditation. And after I finish meditation, I write what's called the Gratitude to God Journal, where I thank God for everything that I know is to come. Because I think it's important. I think part of what strengthens my faith is helping. Well, I would just say what strengthens my faith is being grateful before I receive whatever it is that I know I'm going to receive at some point. And so it's like me giving God and myself permission to bring whatever into my existence is what my gratitude journal is. But I spent so much of 40, the year of 40, just focused on letting go of things that didn't serve me, really taking time by myself and getting to know me without the distractions, without me designing, without me doing anything but taking care of me. And I noticed my happiness changed. Like, not necessarily changed, but I became more in tune with the things that made me happy. And even you mentioning being in an abusive relationship, at the age of 37, I started dating a young lady that I pretty much was involved with for almost 3-4 years, and it was a physically abusive relationship. And most people would look at her, she was 90 pounds, and they're like, okay, you're like 120-30, why did you just throw her across the room? Because I'm really a lover more than I am a fighter. Does that mean that I would let somebody just destroy me and try to kill me? Absolutely not. But if she hit me, I wasn't going to hit her back. I just didn't have that in me. And I didn't ever think that I could end up in a situation like that, but I did. And this past December, I said goodbye to that relationship for good. And I cannot even begin to tell you how the first month or so was very rocky. But the more I committed to praying, because I came to the point in myself where I had to ask myself, would I be satisfied if God gave me what I'm giving God? That meant in this time, in the sense of just taking a moment to just random moments, thank you. Even, you know, there's this song, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it says like that basically I'm going to praise you through the good and the bad. Praise is what I do by Shekinah Glory. And it talks about, because I think so much of, no matter what people believe in, no matter what they call it, like we are so quick to be happy and ecstatic, you know, when things are well. But when things are tough, we have this way of not, like on my tough days, I typically listen to gospel a lot. And even the people that live around me will tell you that they often wonder why I'm repeating certain songs, and it's because sometimes I need to hear it over and over again until it gets so deep down in me that whatever is there that's disrupting my peace and my happiness has to go, you know. But I would also say that, like, just my 40s, if I could put it in words, it would be that flowers need the sun and the rain to grow. It's something that my grandmother taught me. And the year of 40 was absolutely the sun and the rain so that I can grow. And now I'm really embracing the fact that life really is that for every flower that God or Allah or whoever the universe plants in earth, that we need the sun and the rain to grow. And that's what the year of 40 really taught me.
You made 40 sound all divine.
It is. Like, I can't really explain it to you. Like,
you go get the 40. You got some Prosecco. It's all tingly and warm. Okay.
You know, I'm just being honest. Like, it really was that for me. Something that people also don't know is that I grew up in group homes and foster homes. And so, you know, something that I still struggle with now is even that my mom and dad signed over custody, and I became a ward of the court. So I grew up in group homes and foster homes where they didn't celebrate my birthday. So unlike my friends who, they're always happy when it's their birthday, birthdays are numb for me because as a child and teenager, and I would look out the window and my birthday would be just another day, and I had to learn to numb that part of me so that it wouldn't destroy me and disrupt me. And so I'm just now learning, having survived suicidal ideation, or surviving suicidal ideation, I would say, I'm now learning to value myself more, I'm learning the value of what it means to have a birthday. So, yeah, maybe this 41st I will turn up a little bit, as you said. But to be honest, I'm thinking about just heading to North Carolina, and I'm going to do a letting go ceremony where I'm going to write some things down that I'm going to burn, and I'm going to take those ashes, and I'm going to spread some of them in the water, and then I'm also going to bury some. Because I do think that 40 is a very divine age where you're sort of at a crossroad. It's now where, like, you are, like, fully an adult, and you realize the power of your choices, whether that be boundaries with people or, you know, or things within yourself, where now you come to this place where you really own your shit and who you are. And fortunate for me, I don't have kids, but I do have two dogs. And so
you have kids.
Yeah, I have kids. I have two dogs. And even with them, it was tough. I thought about, for the last year, the last, like, 8 months or so, I really thought about giving up custody of my dogs. That's how much I'm so, like, anti-codependency, because I don't want to take care of anything but me right now. Like, because I've been in college, my friend dropped out of college, you know, they come stay in my apartment, you know, I raised my brother, a lot of people don't know that, from the age of 12 till he was 22, my brother that lives here in Brooklyn, a couple of blocks from me. And so all my life I've been taking care of people and things. And so I'm really growing into this person where I really don't have a desire to do that on any level. And I slip up from time to time. I did just this past summer. I was managing an artist, and the artist had a lot of, you know, he wasn't a citizen. He had a lot of stuff going on, and I was putting more of me into the caregiving for him, because I don't know, I'm from the South. We don't know how to eat in front of people, watch them be hungry. And I just wasn't raised like that. And so
right.
I slipped up in codependency again, where I started taking care of this artist more than I was taking care of myself. You know, half of the 14,000 I saved, I spent on, you know, they had their first art show. I took them shopping. I, you know, made sure their rent was paid, stuff that I shouldn't have been doing as a manager. Managing is about managing their career. It's not necessarily about taking care of them. And I had to learn there's a difference. But, yeah, so here I am. But like I said, I'm thinking about going home to North Carolina, because I do need to do a letting go ceremony, because I also don't have a great relationship with my parents. I don't have a bad relationship with them, but right now I'm currently not speaking to my parents, and that's a choice, because I've learned the power of choice. Because I think in Black families, I don't have to tell you, we have such a burden as Black, you know, that we, as Black people, we are people of color, period. I would say even some of my Latino friends, I've watched, and Africans too, and that we have this burden that family first. And for me, as I had to tell so many of my family members, I don't have a desire to play family. I have a desire to be family, and when you be something, you bless everything.
Hey, you better shut up.
You understand?
You better shut up.
So
you better shut up right now before I throw my shoes on my computer and don't have nothing, Jesus, because I need my computer. Okay? I don't have a desire to play family. I have a desire to be family. Child.
Yes.
Just take me to the game. I can't deal with it. You was ready. You was ready spaghetti. I didn't know you was going to give all this right now. I knew you were going to give. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you're speaking directly to me and affirming me in a way that's almost scary. You know what I'm saying? It actually is scary. I'm actually going to ask you a question about my own personal life. I was in a meeting on Thursday. Question about a letting go ceremony. Folks were like, yeah, you know, you have certifications in doing trauma-informed stuff. You're open to doing this letting go ceremony, da-da-da. But it would be open to the community. It would be open to, like, women in my community where I'm from.
That's powerful, though.
That would be powerful, right? We need it. Some of these bitches' hearts ain't right. And for me to be the facilitator and for me to like really be of the Aziza tribe and really be of faith and really be, you know what I'm saying? To carry that and what that takes in preparation, what that takes after. To know some people with the mess and with sometimes you decide, is it worth it?
I'll tell you this.
What you think? That's the question. How about that?
Today, I'll tell you this. When you step into a calling, you're leaving comfort.
So
you're comfortable with people who are ready.
No, I'm not.
You weren't called. Well, that's what I'm saying, but you weren't called in this situation to deal with people who are ready. You've been called to this situation because there's someone there who needs you. Who cares if there's only one person there that's ready? You were sent there for them. That one person could go out here and could become a world-renowned public speaker or life coach that changes millions and billions of people's lives off the experience that they're going to have with you. You see, I just heard a sermon today from Stephen Furtick that talked about, I'm trying to remember who it was. Which disciple, it's slipping my mind, which disciple. But the disciple wasn't ready. God never comes when you're ready, or your higher power is never going to show up when you're ready. Dysfunctional conflict. God didn't come for you to be comfortable and is not going to send you to make other people comfortable. You're being sent there to disrupt some shit within whoever's not ready. They need to be disrupted. So as much as you may feel that there are folks there whose hearts are not right, you're being sent as the light because they're not right. Do you hear me?
Yeah, and I'm scared. You're really scaring me, yo. Like, I don't even use the word, yo. I'm from D.C. We don't use that word. You're really scaring the shit out of me for real. Like, for real. Like, nah, on God. Yeah. So, real quick, because it's 7:58.
Okay. All right.
Tate Ross will be back next week, y'all. Y'all in my inbox. You didn't play the fucking game. And we want to play the game with Tate. Can't be back next week, Mo.
Yes,
we are going to get these slides away. Like, you don't got no shoes at home, but we're going to give them away on social media. So, first and first, you got to be on the social media of the thing. So, start off at my fan show. Then we're going to give you all the ways. Hey, please, how can people, in case their phone get cut off or something, but how can they get in contact with you, support you, follow you till we meet again?
I'm currently working through at madblack.nyc via Instagram, and on Facebook it's just KKTE Ross ROSS, and my email is just kate@makeadifference.nyc. Definitely open to anyone that has any questions, and you know, at madblack.nyc on Instagram, you can definitely follow and DM me. No matter how big I get, I'm always going to be of service to the people, because I think that there's not enough people who people have access to, you know, that really take the time to have a genuine, will I always be able to answer every single email, millions? Absolutely not. But I will promise at this point that I have the ability to answer emails. And should that ever change, I'm going to make a way for people to also be able to record themselves or something in the future. But for now, Instagram again at mad, black.nyc. And Facebook, just KATEROSS. And again, my email is kate@makeadifference.nyc.
And she'll be back next week. Now, listen, I'm going to steal a little bit more airtime because I can do that at Stan on the media, but I can't do much. I can't do much. Listen, Simply Nay was in these streets. We went to the Little Mermaid cocktail experience. Don't waste your money. That's all I'm going to tell you. Don't waste your money. No. It was, I will say this, the actors were great. The cocktails, not so much. Don't waste your money. You can do a lot more with $150. That's all I'm going to say to you. That's all that's going to be said. Also, I am so excited to announce, shout out to Salim Adolfo and Rhythm and Justice Television. I'm going to be on it. Yes, I am. And I'm going to actually be on there several times between now and next Sunday. Don't worry, I got you. Simply Nay in these streets. Yes, Miss DC Plus America 2022, that's me, will be on Rhythm and Justice Television, which is seen on DC Television, Channel 95, if you got the cable. I still do. I'm still on the crack. I still got the cable. Or dctv.org. It was on March 5th at 7 p.m. Yes, we're living in the past because I was on my local TV, and it wasn't for getting locked up, period. March 7th at 1:30 p.m. March 10th, that's forthcoming, baby. Put it in your phone. March 10th, 7:30 p.m. You should watch it twice. Might miss something. March 12th, 7 p.m. Now, I'm actually going to be on TV 8 more times this month. But I'm going to just keep feeding it to you every week. I'm not going to blow you up. I'm not going to blow you up. Also, shout out to the fine folks at DC Vote. We got some stuff forthcoming. Be on the lookout. If you want to book me, I'm just saying, you want me to bring my crown and sash because I do kind of win pageants and stuff. That can happen. It can be arranged. At I Am Simply Nay. I'm just so, so thankful that y'all take the time to listen to me, and y'all have been listening to me since 08. That's just crazy. I don't know why. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're sitting here listening to me, and I am so thankful, and I am so appreciative. And, man, Kate, I just got to put it in my pipe and smoke it. Like, you said so, like, I don't send people my own radio show and be like, did you hear this? But I am today, because everything I've discussed this week with folks, every major overarching thing in my life, you literally use direct language. Literally. And I'm going to just let the universe be the universe. We're going to catch y'all next week. Sunday, 7 o'clock p.m. We'll be hearing more from the fashion icon. You didn't find out what SIS stands for. It's an acronym now. We're going to be talking more about mental health, because we still need our health, and we still got our mental. So ain't shit changed. And I'm just going to be really mind blown still. That's just where we are. And we still are sponsored by Sidebar, trying to send me to Howard Law School one sip at a time. And that's the other thing. I really want to thank Howard, Miss Ayanna Long, Miss Lauren Berry, Miss CSAHN, and Miss SOE, for inviting me to come and be the keynote speaker at Howard University. Funny enough, Kate, my remarks were regarding navigating and dismantling. There are some who are navigators and there are some who are dismantlers. So the fact that you just said what you said is wild. And no, this was not orchestrated for those from Howard who are checking in and letting me know you are tuned in. I really appreciate y'all for following up, listening in, and just inviting me. Thank you for the package. It was beautiful. And be on the lookout for something coming y'all way. Love y'all. Appreciate you. Please stay safe. Please stay sane. Until later, I'm Simply Nay. And let's go with a little exit music. I'd say so.
yeah, yeah.
DJ
Clue,
Dennis Storm.
For all parties,
212-833-4401.
Let's do it, y'all.
What's up, y'all? Yo, this is Dame Dash, the CEO. Here to welcome y'all to the Dream Team.
Clue.
What y'all niggas thought I was gonna rap? Never. I'm just a little mad at niggas coming at my neck like my